when we create content, there are just some things that I think that the majority of us don't naturally think of. And this includes making content that is disabled friendly. So let's talk about that in today's episode.
Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martinez. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this.
What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of YouTube podcast, which will not be the Women of YouTube podcast for much longer. Again, if you missed last week's announcement and what we've been talking about in our Facebook group, we're rebranding this from Women of YouTube into Women of Video, and we're going to be able to expand the reach of what we're doing and who we are talking to, and it's just going to be so awesome. I am lining up a lot of really great content creators around LinkedIn, TikTok, Reels, Facebook, and it's going to be just so good. I'm so excited to share it with you, and it's going to be a great adventure for us to expand our reach, expand our opportunities, and just learn how people are creating on all these different video platforms. So in our episode today, we speak with Emily, and she is a hearing impaired creator, and she is talking to other hearing impaired individuals. And we talk about a lot of different things, like what we can do as unaffected by disability creators, especially within the hearing community, like what we can do as creators to make sure our content is able to transcend to anyone who wants to watch our content. And I think that this is so important because the more people we can reach, the more people that we can be sensitive to and their limitations that, you know, I don't want to say limitations, that I think their disability, the more that we're able to impact and create. Like we at the Women of Video, like we're fighting women, like we're fighting for women against like issues and struggles and trolls and people that suck and societal norms and all of these different things. And so this is just another layer of that. And so I was so happy to talk with Emily about this and what she's doing. And she's also so freaking brilliant. She's got some fantastic plans and doing some amazing things. So you are going to love what we have going on today in this episode. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. I am so excited to have you here today, Emily. I cannot wait to dive into your YouTube journey.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Why YouTube?
So I chose YouTube as a platform because I had a desire to help increase awareness for the deaf and the hard of hearing. I'm hard of hearing myself, and I was diagnosed with my hearing loss at birth. I initially started the channel as a support for parents of hard of hearing children, but YouTube is a visual way to communicate information in long form. And so it also answers search queries online. So I wanted to be there to meet people's search queries about hearing loss because the world is quite small. And so people turn to Google and I wanted to be an answer for them.
Okay, so then tell us, what is your channel about and how are you helping those who are hard of hearing?
Yes, so my YouTube channel is called Definite Hearing. And it is about the life of being hard of hearing. I answer questions from how to change a hearing aid battery to what kind of jobs can a hard of hearing or deaf person have? Because these are often questions that people, as they become hard of hearing or deaf, or as a parent of a hard of hearing child, that they have and they want answered. And so as a hard of hearing person myself, there's some credibility and experience there that I can share and that they can lean on.
All right. Well, wonderful. So tell us about some of the things that you face as a creator that helps people who are hard of hearing. What are some of the struggles and things that you get to, that you choose to do differently than other creators because of who your audience is?
Yeah. So the things that I do differently from really any other creator, aside from those like myself, is that of being accessible and creating accessibility. I apologize. That's my baby in the background.
We are the women of YouTube where babies happen. Right? So don't feel bad about it one bit.
So you can hear him in the background, and he's just kind of puddling along, but he's doing great. So yes, I definitely, we are the women of YouTube. We are the women, and part of that is having a child, and this is the aspect I'm navigating. So yes, anyways, what else would you like to know?
So what is it that the hard of hearing community struggles with that we as creators could be doing better?
Definitely accessibility. So that includes using closed captioning. One way that I do this, that anyone else could do this, is an app called Otter AI. So whenever I upload my videos, I download the Otter AI app. I play my video and Otter AI transcribes it live. There are some issues and some errors. I just export the text, upload it to the caption option or subtitled option in the Creator Studio, make changes as needed, and I have accessible videos.
And how good is it? Like, I know some places it'll not be so great, but you think that Otter, what is it website again? Otter?
It's called Otter AI.
Okay, Otter AI, like they're the best one in your opinion?
Yes, I use them consistently.
All right. So why do you think it is that creators are not using closed captions on their videos?
It just takes extra time. It's another thing. Once you've shot your video, you've edited your video, you finally uploaded it, then you have to do your title and your description and your tags. And it's a lot of work. It really is so much work. And so I think that that's why it doesn't happen. It's just another step. And quite frankly, they may not think about it because it's not something they use on a daily basis like I and my followers do.
So what do you think that the YouTube closed caption generator, do you think that they're doing a good job with helping with like your community, or where do you think they have room for improvement?
They're trying to make it available, but I don't think it's a point of focus for improvement. So what I mean by that is YouTube used to have community captions, and they recently took it down probably about a year to 6 months ago because people were spamming people. They were going in and community adding just things that were not right, were offensive. And so YouTube redacted those permissions. And that was really a fallback for the accessibility community. And now they just have automatic transcriptions that show up. The problem with these transcriptions is they don't have any punctuation. They don't have any capitalization. It's just a long stream of words. And so I like Otter AI because it adds punctuation and it adds just kind of that sentence structure that as you're reading or listening, your brain can make those notes, and it just looks more presentable as well.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I find incredibly unique about your YouTube channel, besides, you know, the content that it is in general, is that you don't have any text on your thumbnails. Walk us through that thought process, that design decision, because it's very unique and I think, but also very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. So the thinking behind this is the title speaks for the text. And also I want to draw attention to my hearing and the fact that I am a hard of hearing person myself. And because they're so small, my face has to be big. That means my text would be small. So it really is considering all of the elements, but because I'm really trying to appeal to hard of hearing and deaf people, I want it to be visually captivating. And so that's why my type of thumbnails lend to that, with the bright colors, the cutout, the background around me, and no text, as you get out.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of those Apple iTunes commercials that we used to see back in the day, where it was like the silhouette person with the bright color behind it. So, I mean, those were successful. And I think that that's what's working really well for you. And I think that it really forces people to like read the title to see what's happening. And it also puts you in this position of like, how can I be expressive and attention grabbing in the thumbnail, because that is what the main subject matter is. So like, do you have anything that you're doing for yourself to make sure you're pushing that envelope really far for that attention?
As far as getting attention, I feel like I'm going to Instagram to find new viewers, because right now I just appeal to really the Google searches and the YouTube searches that a very small number of people are pushing for. So as far as like pushing for attention, I'm more of trying to be methodical to find my audience, because I have so many people that they learn, wow, you have a YouTube channel. what is it? And I'm like, well, you're hearing. It's such a specific niche that they can definitely listen. It's great. I want to increase awareness. I want them to know what it's like for hard of hearing people in life. But I am really trying to penetrate the masses to find those that can truly benefit from the content.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it.
Because you have a very niche specific group, how is building a business around this YouTube channel working? Like, what are you doing? How are you making money?
Yeah. So right now, primarily YouTube ads, when you have 1,000 hours of watch time, I believe.
Yep.
Yes. You can monetize. And so that is my biggest way right now. I am also kind of doing this as a passion project, but as far as the business side of it, I do plan to monetize it in aspects of having a website, a blog, the ads on the blog, the Amazon affiliation. There's a lot of hearing aid accessories that I've bought on Amazon that I think other people deserve to know about. So becoming an Amazon affiliate, having those links throughout my videos and descriptions, and then also just creating more content for Facebook and Pinterest. I kind of have this roadmap to monetization success to make it a business, and it's just one step at a time right now.
Well, you have to share us with this. So what does your roadmap for financial success look like? I'm very interested.
Obviously, the end goal is independence. I currently work a typical day-to-day job, and I would love to be able to create content and really help people in the long run. I mean, it's so fulfilling to have people say, your content gives me hope for, because like, you have a hearing loss. I know I'm not alone. And so my goal right now, I'm starting with YouTube videos. I typically, the sweet spot, is posting 3 times a week. Because of my new baby, I'm down to 1 time a week, but I plan to build back up to 2 times a week, 3 times a week, and then using that content on Instagram, Facebook, reusing it in different formats. I think everyone thinks, great, now I'm on Facebook, I have to make this whole new thing. Well, no, you can just cut it down to appeal to that respective audience. So Facebook is going to be my older group, my 45 plus. Instagram, typically my mid-aged group, my 25 to, you know, my 45. And then TikTok is something that I have got on. I haven't quite taken advantage of yet because I've heard your first posts are critical. So doing that as well. So to back up, my ladder for success is focusing on YouTube, building my Instagram through Reels, reusing those Reels to TikTok, hopefully hitting virality on TikTok, but then also using my links on Facebook and Pinterest through Amazon affiliation. So it really is kind of this step up, and all of those different revenue streams were ultimately the end goal.
And I love that. And I think that's really important for so many people out there, no matter what kind of channel that is that they're doing. What is it like for you as a creator to have such, I don't even know, what do you call this, a micro niche? What is that like for you to be so, like, do you think you could ever get to millions of subscribers, or like, what are your goals now? Like, what is that like being so very specific?
Yeah. So being super specific, I would say that the leader right now, in my opinion, that has quite a bit of followers just in the US, he has 190,000 subscribers. And so I don't see myself getting super big as far as my hard of hearing channel, but I have considered opening up other channels. And I think that by doing that, I would reach that broad audience. And right now having this micro niche, it's so powerful and often an element in YouTube creation that's overlooked, because our revenue is made through advertising dollars. I'm an advertiser myself. There's so much value in finding an influencer that focuses on your specific product, because you can put ads up all day and you're in a relevant time, place with a relevant message. And those are kind of the super three for advertisers. And so though my audience is small, it is very specific, and that makes it powerful from an advertising perspective.
Yeah, definitely like that small and mighty situation that you have, like the more focused you are, the more financial opportunities you have. And like, I think a lot of people, like when they think of sponsors and advertising, like advertising, let's remove like AdSense from that. Like when advertisers, like companies that want to work with you, like for example, we have vidIQ here on our podcast and Spreadshop. They know that they have, we have a micro community as well here of women creators, right? And so being a creator is very specific in itself, but being like a woman creator is also super specific because again, women creators aren't, well, popular and we see them everywhere. There's a little bit more obstacles that are in the way versus men. And so they know what they're getting by partnering with us and having that level of association.
Make and sell your merch with Spreadshop. Always free, always awesome. Why are we so awesome, you might ask? Simply sign up, upload your designs, lay out your products and shop, and we'll print and ship your order on demand anywhere in the world. We back our service with a 1,000% satisfaction guarantee. You can make and sell shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, totes, and even stickers. Get started today at Spreadshop.com. Always free and always awesome.
And I also think that there's something to be said too, and this is something that I'm learning more about as we create the Women of Video Conference, is that whole idea of being participating and acknowledging diversity, equality, and inclusion, because we're seeing it, I think, slowly in different cultures. Like we're seeing more, at least I am, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I know we could always see more, but we're seeing more people who are hard of hearing, and like more sign languages in shows, even like watching shows where it's like not modern times, like you're still seeing that representation coming in into those spaces, which I think is really important. And so having that to participate and be a part of and being acknowledged is a really great opportunity for creators. And so my question to you, someone who has such a niche community, what advice do you have for our audience members who maybe are too broad and that's what's hurting them in their growth opportunity? What do you think they could do and think through and work through to get more focus on their audience?
Great question. I think that a piece of advice that I would give is take a step back. Look inside in yourself. What is different about you? There are other people that share this difference with you. And how can you share that more and become kind of a light or a point of reference with this difference? It could be something as a hearing loss, but it could be, you know, you could be open about maybe skin condition or a health thing or a family thing, or I don't know, any hard thing that you've had in life. If you share that, you know, realize that they're not alone. Even if it's just one video or a couple posts or just sharing your journey, that really is valuable, because I think that some people get so stuck on the topic that when you share your story, that brings the humanity in and that enables your connections to grow. I could think one example is beauty. The industry concept does really well on YouTube, TikTok, Reels, you name it, because beauty is a huge advertising appeal. But if you take a chance to be human, whether it's one TikTok or one YouTube video, to just kind of share your story and how you got into beauty, that can broaden your audience because you're inspiring others.
And I think that there are so many opportunities for misrepresentation. One of the guests we've had on this podcast, her name is Jessica Stansberry, and I love her. One of her recent videos cracked me up because she was talking about her son wanted to be a YouTuber. And she's told her boy, she's like, my two requirements are as follows. One, you have to do the work yourself. I will guide you, obviously, because this is what your mama's job is. But two, you have to have a unique idea. And so you can't just come to me and be like, I'm going to make Minecraft videos, because that's not going to fly, especially not as you're trying to build something. Because I think that recognition of like, so it's great to build something, but you want to make sure that's effective, because it can be a real downer, especially like when you're young, when you're not getting the attention you have. And so what her son actually came to her to do is like, he wants to teach people, other kids about sports. So it's sort of his show is called like The Playbook. And he's like, I What is football? How do you get started? Well, I learned about it so you don't have to. And I think it's a really unique idea. It's like a by a kid, for a kid, and it's just this really unique perspective. And I think that is like the more focused you can be, the more you can know who you can serve, the more opportunity you have. And I think that part of that is removing this idea that you need hundreds of thousands of subscribers to have success. Like I said, when we were talking today, your channel has around 3,500 subscribers on your channel, and you have a very niche comment. You watch your views. You have a lot of views on your channel because of the community that you're targeting, because they're being seen and they're being heard and they're being represented. They think that that is an overlooked quality of a YouTube channel.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that having a unique thing is so important. And that's why I think sharing your story can be so human and so different, because no one else has your story. And I just love that human side of things. And so I would agree with you. Like my audience is smaller, but it's big. And it's so helping people on an individual basis. Like, it's so fulfilling to have people say, like, because you are doing it, I can too. Like, I felt a comment in my hearing loss, and that is invaluable.
Now, as someone who's a channel for people with hearing loss, what, and this is a little bit about YouTube, more about like cultural acceptance and how can we as women be champions and allies for those who are hearing, do have hearing struggles?
Definitely take time to listen. I think that's one of the biggest things. Take time to listen. Take time to appreciate other people's stories. You don't have to agree. You don't have to have something to comment or, you know, feel like you relate on a specific platform. But really just saying like, wow, she's different. And because she's different, that's awesome. We have more diversity. We can be more unique. And I think that's really helpful. Sharing content, even just saying, hey, you know, look at this. This is different and this is awesome. And that has its own kind of beauty. And just celebrating and lifting each other. And that is really beneficial and can help.
Okay, so from a creator perspective, what is it that you think creators are doing wrong that is hurting their channels, besides not being focused on their audience?
Yeah, that definitely would be number one. If you're not focusing on your audience, I think that also would bleed into, if you don't have a niche, that is definitely hurting you, because you're going to be all over the place. You're not going to be able to have specific advertisers. They can choose specific videos, but the easier you make it for people to advertise in front of you, the better. So really having that niche is important. I would also say in your early phases, if you're not engaging with comments, that's a problem. Like, you need to engage with your audience. You need to build a community. You need to encourage them, and they will share your content with others. So I would say if someone's starting out, engagement is something that you need to be doing. And engagement also includes if there are people commenting on your channel that you don't like or make you uncomfortable, don't hesitate to block them, eliminate them. Just be really direct. I definitely think that a woman creator at the beginning, that's a struggle. Like, you kind of get those people that are just on the internet looking for people to troll. And it's important to stand up for yourself and realize it's not an if that happens, it's when it's going to happen. So it's unfortunate, but it's true.
It is. It's a super crappy part of being a creator and of any kind, whether you're a man or a woman, but eventually someone's gonna roll you or troll you. And there, we have this joke, I think, it's like, once you get trolled, it means that you've arrived, but it also still kind of sucks. And I think the best thing is don't focus on that at all.
Yeah, so, that's so true.
How, as a creator and a mom, how do you make it happen? I know that so many women probably aren't able to create as consistently or even at all because they have children or babies and it gets in the way, and they can have these amazing stories and situations to share, but they're not, because they feel bogged down by what they're already doing. How are you able to create and be a mom at the same time?
Yes. So I will say a caveat here. My son is 10 weeks old. I'm still figuring this out. So take this as like, I'm 10 weeks out, still learning. But I would say the biggest thing that I've noticed in these last 10 weeks is planning ahead and just doing it. Like, I will plan ahead, say, what video am I going to film during his next nap? Quite frankly, I don't know when his next nap is going to come. At this point, we're still learning. We're going to have to figure out his sleep schedule exactly. But when his next nap does come, usually I'm tired. I have to admit that I'm going to be tired. I'm going to want to sleep. I do need to take care of myself. So I just say, I'm going to do this one video. We're going to get it done. So you just have to plan ahead. And you have to get it done. And just letting yourself just get it done. And also, like, it's not going to be perfect. I can't take as many takes as I want now. And so things like that. So just remembering that it won't be perfect, but just getting it done. And that will help me get through to when I hit my stride again. Consistency is key on YouTube. So really making sure that I do my best to stick to that.
And what do you think about those that... Why do you think it is that women and creators in general let other outside influences, whether their life or the voices in their heads or other people's heads, or in it, why do you think that stops them?
Because it's hard. It is an uphill battle when you're a creator. Like I said, the process in and of itself is so time consuming. And so when you have all these voices, whether it's yourself or trolls or time, or in my case, a new baby that needs my love and attention, it's just so hard to think about like missing a nap to get it done. And so I think that it's recognizing that it's an uphill battle. It's not going to be easy, but it's so worth it. Like, I'll never remember the nap that I took 5 days ago, but I will remember those comments that people say, like, once in a blue moon, thank you for this, and I love connecting with you. And that, it's hard to remember that, but if you can just remind yourself, you know, take a screenshot of a comment that made your day and just make that your thing to push forward every time you don't want to.
So do you think that there's room on YouTube for new creators?
Sorry, what did you say? Say that again.
Do you think that there's room on YouTube for new creators?
Always. Always. Because the beautiful thing about YouTube is we're all different. If you just go back to that one point of sharing your story or like having a niche and a passion you love, there's always room for that. If you don't have a passion or a personality you want to share, go to Google and find a search term or questions that are really popular, whether it's a category of gardening or craft or motherhood. Like, your channel is valuable because you are different and you're the creator of it. And people often forget that. They say, I'm not unique enough. Well, you're you. So that is enough. That's a qualifying factor.
I love it. All right. Well, how can people follow you on the YouTubes?
Yeah. So if you just go to YouTube and you type in definite space hearing, you will find my channel. It should pop up at the top. I'm really excited. I'm finally showing up at the top of those search algorithms. So definitely connect with me there. And I know people always have questions they want to ask. So I'm also on Instagram at @definite_hearing. So that's a place for people to kind of come and share more of their personal health background and stories. So definitely watch videos on YouTube and share them with people, because we've got to find all those hard of hearing people that can benefit from my content.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your journey and inspiring others on the way. You and everyone listening are possibly amazing. Until next time, I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with #WomenOfYouTube with your thoughts.